can always tell when I start the podcast because I start acting really weird.
Oh, we started.
Yeah.
Oh, we did start.
Good to know. Thanks for making me feel better, guys.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just, so, actually concerned I'm going to legitimately offend the internet one day.
It's inevitable.
To be fair, I think any of us can just say, hey, how's it going, and just offend the whole internet.
I know, but yeah. I've made a lot of, like, unsavory jokes.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Oh, trust me.
Like, 90% of my humor is unsavory jokes.
I made a really tasteless joke watching wrestling the other day about a mass shooting.
Oh.
Yeah. I felt really bad afterwards. I was like, yeah, that was completely uncalled for.
Yeah, at least you realized it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So,
edit that out, please. People are like, man, this calling guy's not in there all that often.
But, like, you realized it. And you accept that, you know, it was tasteless.
I don't know.
See, we have the power of editing, so what we can do is we take that quote and then we just splice it in randomly throughout the podcast.
Yeah, we just basically say, I'm Colin and I love mass shootings.
So it's just like, yeah, then Big House 6 happened. I think it was a joke about mass shootings.
Big House 6 mass shootings happened.
Whoa.
At Big House 6.
Right. Whoa.
Wow, this is getting morbid. How about this weather we're having?
It's how about
morbid.
This beautiful fall weather?
It's been cold.
I'm your host, Dion Manassian, here with the crew on the Lifecast. Sydney.
Hello.
Greg.
Yo.
And Colin.
Oh, hi.
Yeah, it brings it full circle to me. We have four people this week. How's everyone's day going? Who does everyone like?
I like everybody here. Oh. I don't play favorites.
No, I mean like.
Like-like?
Ooh.
I like that chair over there.
Natalie Dormer. That's who I like.
Yeah.
I'm gay. yeah.
Have you seen her? I don't blame you.
I know. That's why I'm gay.
Natalie Dormer is just a beautiful human being.
I was talking to one of my coworkers about her, and my coworker Maria, and we were just talking about Game of Thrones or whatever. I was like, okay, can we talk about just how unbelievably beautiful Marjorie Tyrell is?
Yes.
She goes, it's unfair how attractive that woman is.
And her character is so good.
No.
I know.
And then in The Hunger Games, she shaved half her head, and she's trying to look butch as hell, but, like, she looks even more beautiful than Jennifer Lawrence somehow. Like, I don't understand.
It's not hard to look better than Jennifer Lawrence.
Damn, that's rude.
Damn.
It's
I'm feeling a little rude today.
My niggas are rude when we come. We eat a nigga food. But she just has like a natural charisma. Like,
yeah,
there's like a... She got like a 20 in charisma. And eventually that just starts to shine through over like all the other like physical features.
Yeah.
And when you are actually physically beautiful and you have a 20 in charisma, then it's like a... Woo.
Then it's like a 50 in charisma.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually,
what have you been doing this week, Colin? Start us off.
Oh, I was actually going to keep talking about Natalie Dormer real quick.
I was doing Natalie Dormer.
Welcome to the Natalie Dormer podcast. If you're listening to this, Natalie,
we all love you.
We all love you.
I'd be too nervous or whatever. I'd be like, I like your bye. Colin has no game. Anyway.
But you have lots of games.
I do have. I have lots of retro games. In fact, I've been playing... I'm waist deep in a Castlevania binge.
Ooh.
Because it's October, and that's kind of like my yearly thing. I play as many Castlevania games as possible. Not really beating them. Mostly playing them just for fun, because, you know, that's why we play video games. Not to be like, look how good I am with this game, guys. I beat it in like 12 seconds. Like,
I mean,
who
that's
cares?
Why I played Dark Souls.
Well, no, the speedrunning community for Castlevania is huge.
Yeah, like, the speedrunning community for like any game that is speedrunnable is huge.
But like, the first Castlevania game, it's, you know, a lot of that entire series is known for being really, really difficult.
Yeah.
So one of the first speedruns I found out about when I was a wee lad of 12 was an 8-minute Castlevania run. My mind was just blown.
Good shit.
And other than that, I've been doing a lot of writing. I have been writing a second short story in a series I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bunch of like pulp style short stories based in the 40s.
Mm-hmm.
And Natalie Dormer brings into this because I based one of the characters off of her. So,
copyright infringement.
Yeah, you're gonna have to pay for her likeness. And you admitted it.
Well, no. Like
it's not Natalie Dormer, but like, you know,
it's Natalie Dormer.
Yeah.
She was your muse.
She was my muse.
Yeah.
Show me your muse.
My muse. Show me your muse. I was an English major in college. I have since graduated, but I'm like pretty 2 years
ago.
Hey, shut up.
I'm the only person still, like,
oh, fuck, doing you're right. that. You're a baby.
I'm a little Bobby.
But I know there are, like, a handful of people that I could, with a serious face, go up to them and say, show me your muse, and they'd, like, probably have pictures on their phone. It's yes. just, it comes with the territory, guys.
I wouldn't know what that's like.
Well, her just, like, when I was writing this character, because I was trying to be like a femme fatale type character.
Oh my god.
So like she was just the first actress that kind of came to mind.
Yeah.
So
anything else you'd like to share with us?
Go Packers.
Speaking of Castlevania.
Take
Bloodborne
us away.
Has like the it's like the Legend of Zelda of Castlevania games.
It really is.
No, it's like there's this one track. It's called Ludwig the Holy Bleed, and it is like the best Castlevania song in not a Castlevania game so I've awesome. Ever heard. It's like it blows. It's like probably it's one of my favorite like just video game tracks of all time.
If you want to talk about a series that's had like consistently good music, yes. like up there with like Final Fantasy or like a lot of BioWare
Sonic.
Games, it's.
you think I'm kidding? But Sonic Adventure 2 is like my top three soundtracks. Also.
Sonic 3 has a great soundtrack too, mostly because Michael Jackson co-composed it.
Oh yeah, it's so good.
That's beside
like
the point.
Every Sonic game outside of like the Secret Rings.
Yeah.
Oh
soundtrack.
No.
But I mean, Castlevania has just one of those, like, Sonic super...
Deanna recedes into her shell of sadness.
That was first Wii game I bought with my own money.
Oh,
no!
Because it was on sale at Target for
$20. I honestly didn't even know that game existed until I met Rich, and he brought it in one day.
No, I brought it in one day.
Oh, it was you monster.
If it makes you feel better, the first PS2 game I bought with my own money was Spyro Enter the Dragonfly.
But, like,
it's broken.
Yeah, it's,
like it actually is broken and incomplete.
I like just the ridiculous amount of glitches in that game that are just so exploitable.
I didn't, because like a 7-year-old me or however the hell old I was when it came out was just like, that was my real first experience of like, this game is bad and it's hard.
You
and
had your heart broken early.
Yeah, I did. Because I was playing, I'm like, this game shouldn't be this hard. And I was like, why is the loading screen actually 5 minutes long? Because the only time that ever happened before was a Serious Sam game that I played with my brother. And it was like, it would load. It would tease you. It would go from like 100 to like 99 and then just stop for 3 minutes on the dot. And I think, I forget what game it was, but I just remember it was a Serious Sam game. And it got to the point where it's like, it would load to 99%, and then we'd be like, okay, let's go make food. Let's go use the bathroom real quick. Because they just gave
shower.
You so much, pretty much. Like, oh man, how about that nice roast turkey dinner?
It's been in the oven for 10 hours. Serious Sam still hasn't loaded. That's a series that needs to make a good comeback.
Serious Sam?
I love Serious Sam.
I've never heard of it before this day.
It's just like a big, dumb first-person shooter.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Like you know how Duke Nukem's not funny? Serious Sam's actually funny.
Damn.
Well, no, I mean...
Compared to Duke Nukem Forever, whatever the hell the last one was.
Even then, it's just a bunch of quotes from Army of Darkness. Like,
yeah, okay.
If you want to hear, like, Duke Nukem, just watch Army of Darkness. You'll be more entertained anyway. I mean, I love Duke Nukem 3D, but, you know, well, let's be honest here, folks.
I kind of think of, like, Johnny Bravo when I think about Serious Sam.
Yeah.
Like, if you put him in a shooter.
I'm sure there's aliens. To the market with my aliens.
I want a Johnny Bravo shooter.
Like, I want a Johnny Bravo
independently.
Movie. I want a Johnny Bravo movie.
I want everything to be Johnny Bravo.
You know what's great about that
so
show?
Good. Is everything?
That yeah, but, like, when you realize, like, his whole entire purpose is just to get laid.
Yeah.
And, like, as a kid, you're like, oh, it's funny, he's a ladies' man, whatever. And then you get old and you're like, damn, he's thirsty.
Yeah. Low-key, that show taught me to respect Will.
Yeah, honestly.
Listen.
He was thirsty as fuck, but,
and
like,
then all he, did
he
get
also
his
had
ass
respect.
Wolf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't like, even have respect, but it was just like, okay, so if you wanted, like,
no,
like the catcaller dude, you just get kicked in the chest.
Exactly.
Yeah, there was that one episode where he, like, got turned into a woman. For one reason or another.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, oh, shit, this is what women have to put up with every single day. Because he got, like, catcalled and things.
Yeah.
And he was like, this is not cool.
And
I don't know if he changed his ways.
Like, clearly he didn't change his
ways. Yeah, clearly he didn't change his ways. But, like, it taught us important lessons.
I always liked how,
I'm really resisting an urge here.
What?
We promised never to talk about it on the podcast. Oh, man.
Do it anyways. I don't
fuck care. Fucking Donald Trump.
Maybe not. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I'll like do my one sentence rant when it gets to my turn. But like, goddamn. Fuck it. I'll do it now. I do not want to go to my grandmother's house and talk about the debate and have my grandmother literally say to me, it doesn't matter what his views on women are and how he treats women. It just means that he'd be a better president than Hillary Clinton.
Grand, that doesn't make sense.
Grandmother. And both my mother and my father corroborated this fact.
Oh my god.
So I'm like sitting here eating my fucking really nice shrimp scampi that I made and took to my grandparents. I labored in love.
All right.
For my grandmother and my grandfather. Well, and they come to me while eating my dinner. And they say that Donald Trump would be a good president.
Okay, so sure. Let's say you don't mind that he has no respect for
but
me.
How
does that help him be a better president?
But they had to do it in the middle of shrimp scampi?
No, right?
How dare they?
Homemade. My mom shelled the shrimp. But, like, I cooked it.
You did most of the work.
Yeah, right? I actually cooked the shrimp scampi.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah.
The shrimp scampi. Yeah. The shrimp scampi is delicious.
Yeah. It was nice leftovers. But like...
I like how we went from Johnny Bravo to...
well, Johnny Bravo's a shit stain.
Yeah.
He is.
He's a shit stain, but he's a funny shit stain.
But I don't think he would actually vote for Trump. I really don't.
Yeah, I don't think so either.
I feel like he would vote for Hillary, because it's like, oh man, hot babies in the office.
For like the entirely wrong reason, but he'd do it.
You know he would. He would try to like talk to Chelsea and stuff too. It'd be really weird.
Yeah.
Let's not
think about that. But like, I don't know. Only thing I'm gonna say is that like it's a moral choice at this point. It's not a who's a better candidate. It's literally who do you want to elect Hitler?
Do you want your friends to be deported?
I mean,
honestly,
I. In order to like be the best person I can, I never like no matter what, no matter how, like awful it seems from my point of view, I will never like reject someone's point of view. I will listen to it. I will tell them if I believe they're wrong, but I always listen to it. So I'm always like a huge fan against the whole you got to pick a side type thing. But like specifically, what makes me angry about this whole thing is something I've known for a long time. But it's just being shown like in really bright lights right now. And it is the fact that after this statement,
this
is the dividing factor. And so, okay, so what he said is pretty bad, but it's clearly meant to be like a crude joke, and the fact that he's talking about sexually assaulting women is the exaggeration. You can tell by the way, because how jokes are structured, that's kind of how it's supposed to be. And so this joke is what's separating people in the Republican Party. You want to know why that is? Because they go home and they see, oh, this actually affects me. Because these are people without empathy. They don't see, what they see is, oh, I have women in my life. He's doing something bad to them. Now I care. But when he was saying awful shit about all these different type of people that they don't actually have in their house, it's all right then. You know, yeah. I don't know any black people. I don't know any Mexican people. I don't know any fucking...
How do you go your whole life and not know a black person?
Yeah.
It's this mindset that that can only happen when you're in a position of power, which is why my ladies understand, because it's in a similar space from where like anytime a woman's issue is talked about, when you're in the position of power, it's easy to pretend like the issue isn't a big deal. Mm-hmm. So it's like,
I think a lot of it too. There are members of the Republican Party even before this who did not like Trump.
Yeah.
I think they were just waiting.
I think this is just like,
yeah,
they were just waiting for him to fuck up.
They were just waiting, and then Paul Ryan went home and was just like, yes,
got him.
Finally.
Yeah, it's
I like that throwback, Diana.
You guys didn't see it, but I high-fived myself and then started like writing on an invisible surface. Damn, old inside jokes.
Damn,
David Esquire.
Damn, David Esquire. Speaking of sexist people, David Esquire.
Anyway, continue.
And so it's like, yeah,
after this, you can feel free to segue into what you did this week, because, like...
I really don't want
to... I want a meteor to hit the Earth before this election happens.
Come on, I want a Mad Max future, though.
Okay.
I want to strap like random shit to my to a car and
can we have,
talk an Australian accent.
I can't awesome. Drive.
Can we have a shadow run? Well, we'll teach you. You ride or you die in Mad Max.
She pretty can be much. Our gunner.
I also don't like chrome or guns.
Well, we don't
well,
have to, we
okay,
don't
chrome,
chrome
is after you die. You don't have to go to Valhalla.
I live, I die, I live again. Shiny and chrome.
I don't like guns.
Okay, then we'll be the pacifist village. And we'll
die.
Yeah, that worked out so well, though. Canonically in Mad Max.
It works out quite a bit in that franchise when you really think about it.
I guess. Oh, wait, yeah, no, yeah. I forgot the end of Fury Road for a minute. Because, like, spoilers.
The movie's been out.
Yeah, because, like, Furiosa's, like, tribe, whatever, got pretty much wiped out except for those four old women and her. Yeah. And, like, they were pacifists, so, like, it didn't work out for them.
No.
But it worked out when they went back.
Right.
Man, maybe just the fucking stars need to align. Speaking of stars alignments... I'm not putting much faith in astrology here, but, like, I'm just saying, the stars are in the same position as they were in 1939. Guess who came into power in 1939? Hitler.
I don't know.
What a great guy.
No!
And that's the podcast, folks, and that's a wrap. Good night, folks.
Ooh, okay.
What a great place to end it.
Wow. I love that it's become a recurring joke.
You know, I learned something today.
This is a great place to end it.
Sure. Do, 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 do.
Wow. All right, so what have you been up to?
Yeah, what have you been up to, Greg? Let's forget that happened. Politics suck.
Yeah, they
it's just
do.
Like the world would be a much just better place if people, one, had the ability to introspect and to look inside themselves and figure out why they feel a certain way. And, well, that's just fucking huge. Fucking everyone should do that. And that should be, like, a mandatory class in high school, is like, meditation slash
introspection.
Yes.
Like, literally, it's the most important thing, like, in my life is to be like, okay, that made me feel a certain way. Let's think about why that is.
Yeah. And
then I grow
fix
because
it.
Of that.
And that, you know, it's okay to come clean and be like, hey, maybe it was my fault.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like that's why, like, low-key, it's, like, one of the things lots of, like, the... lots of white people don't understand about, like, racism specifically. It's specifically because the word racism is, like, super heavily loaded.
Yeah.
And they don't want to believe that they're racist. So I like to use the word prejudice instead. We all have fucking prejudice based off of our own experiences and shit like that. Fuck, I'm prejudiced against black people, and I'm black. So every time I hear a white person, like, I'm not prejudiced, like, bull fucking shit.
I think Mark Cuban said something about that on ESPN.
Yeah.
He said, you know, we all have prejudices. And shockingly enough, pretty much the entire NBA was in support of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it's like, literally, it's like, okay, you have your prejudices. That's not a problem. The media and, like, your life has built you to be that way. That's not a problem. All you got to do is fix it. All you got to do is admit that it's there. And then once you realize it, first part of fixing a problem is admitting it's a problem.
It's true, though.
That's like, that's fucking true, man. And if everyone just did that, things would be so fucking copacetic.
Yeah.
Everything would be so fucking dope. Everyone could focus on being fucking sick and being dope.
And this is why weed should be legalized, because none of these things would happen. We'd all be too high and be like, bro, let's get some chips.
Fucking be dope. Like, if everyone's goal in life should just be fucking excellent. Be excellent. You know, be excellent. Be excellent to each other, and just be
that
as dope
a title.
As you fucking can.
Be excellent
to each other, part two.
That's because it's so important.
It's,
man,
really
just
important.
Be fucking dope.
I'm not saying it's not.
No, yeah, I know. It's just like it's
but,
so.
Yeah.
It's so, the moral of Bill and Ted.
Yeah.
What a holy crap.
It's literally what it's all about. They want to be as cool as they can be, and they want to be good to other people.
Right.
That's all you gotta focus on. Just be sick.
Plus
be
the
fucking.
Plus they
make
so
crazy.
All we are is dust in the wind. Keanu Reeves' finest hour.
I'm allergic to dust.
Oh.
Does that mean you're allergic to everyone in the wind?
Yes.
Oh, shit.
Like, I'll die and you'll just hear a gentle sneeze. Because I'll be allergic to myself. My ashes will go away and be like, achoo.
Oh, God.
It's so quiet I could hear a fly fart.
But yeah, so more stories. You're fucking sick. All right, so what I've been up to is I've been playing Masquerada Songs in Shadows.
Yeah.
And it is this isometric, like...
I'm sold.
Like, party RPG type thing. So it's like, think like Knights of the Old Republic. So you have like a party of like four people, and they all have like these, like, they're all like these, like, developed characters. And so you go around. And so the setting is like a... It's like a Renaissance, like, feudal type thing, where it's like everyone has like masquerade ball type masks, and these masks grant them power. So he's like, every soldier is equipped with these masks. And so it has to do with like this sort of like a very like current issue, which has to do like the sort of kind of like a wage gap type thing. So yeah. It's like they live in this city, and there are people who are rebelling because the poor are extremely poor type thing. Mm-hmm. And so you go through the story as like the brother of like the leader of the rebellion.
Yep.
And so you're like, you have like influence in both sides, and you're trying to like solve a murder mystery. But this murder, like, or the person that is missing is has like the deep ties with everything, and they're trying to like, they have information on like pretty much like the origin of these masks, because they just kind of like, the civilization just kind of landed on these, like this power, and they don't really understand it. So the person you're looking for has like information about this, and so everybody's trying to figure out what that information is. So it's like you like working with like the people of the government and people from other governments trying to like figure out who it is. So it's like all this like espionage and intrigue. It's fucking sick. Like, I really, really like it. But like just the story itself is just fucking great. Like, I haven't been this glued to a story in a very long time.
Awesome.
Which is, yeah, it's really great.
What,
my problem,
what game series was the last time that happened with?
The Witcher. The Witcher 3.
Okay. My bait didn't work.
That's because The Witcher came more recently than a Souls game.
That's true.
That's very true.
How about...
I didn't count on it. That's the only thing I'm saying.
But my only problem is it's just like it's come in a similar string of games recently where I've been wanting to play on higher difficulties, but I can't because the combat is poorly designed. So you just have like your characters, they move around and they basic attack, you know, they'll do basic attacks, and you have abilities use on cooldowns, and you kind of use your whole parties, and you can switch around to use their abilities type thing. But like, so I would be playing on hard mode and I'm dying a lot, which isn't a problem for me, but I didn't feel like I could be playing better than I was at the time. And I'm sure I could, because you always can, but I didn't feel like it was possible. Like, in most games, you can understand how to do better, but I couldn't figure it out. And so I was dying this one spot for, like, an hour, and I went down to normal, which is something I almost never do. And it sucked, because now normal is way too fucking easy. So it's caught between my two pet peeves, which is a game's combat not being polished enough for me, and there being no in-between between normal and hard mode. So I'm sitting here just, like, face rolling through all the challenges, but I know if I go to hard, it's way too difficult. And so I've just grown to sit down, play normal, and enjoy the story, which is really what the game is all about. It's got great voice acting, great characters, great fucking characters. I love everybody in this game.
Right.
And Matt Rice is in it. So, yeah.
Cool.
Leon Kennedy himself?
Yep. And what else have I been up to? I've been continuing to work on my world. I recently, for D&D, I recently did an article about Anno Edis, the elven land in my place.
Should I read this?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
So
I'm in our upcoming campaign. I'm going to be a sun elf.
Yes. And so this is the home.
Presumably, where they come from.
Yes. This is. I'm trying to set my campaign into sort of like African, Arabic, like Mediterranean type flavor type place. And so this
Mediterranean flavor is top tier.
Yes.
Let me tell you.
And so this place. This is specifically like Egypt and Africa. This is like. So Anno Edis is like a country, but it's like there's not like it's huge. So it's like all of these like sort of like countries that I've been talking about, they're very big. So there's lots of different cultures inside. But so this one is it's like Egyptian, and it gets like some sort of like Middle Africa type things as well. And so I've got like a couple different places, like but like the sort of main government that's very Egyptian. Like they have a pharaoh, and like most of the gods they follow are like Egyptian gods. Pretty much all of them are Egyptian gods. But I also have like more specific stuff. Like I have the clerics of Aziza, which they follow like another Egyptian god, yada yada. And I also have the Shakansha, which is the new name. I should tell you of where you're from.
Cool.
And that's like the very warrior African, like Zulu type flavor. So it's like, yeah, they have like the face paint, like, and the sharp ears, which is I was looking through like just African elves, like that was like my Google search of the day yesterday. And there's like a lot of people who like just, there's like so many just great pictures of just like your standard, like just your standard, like sort of like African style, but you have the sharp ears. And so like mixes those two cultures. It's really cool.
Are elves part of their actual mythology? Do you know? In your research?
No, I haven't come across anything like that.
Okay.
So it's more so like a like just a cultural blending, which is really cool.
Okay.
And so yeah, that's like
the main thing.
That's like the main thing though. There's a one of the things I'm excited about is I have like a sort of assassin clan who follow Anubis. So they judge whether or not you're worthy of life or death. So it's they're like kind of like a vigilante type thing, but it's like more like spiritual and religious type thing.
Can we play D&D?
Yeah, honestly, can we just have a day where we get together and play all the tabletop games?
Yes. Because
I want to have like 1 7-hour session of Shadowrun to like finish what you guys started a couple of months ago at this point. And like we were at this tipping point in D&D.
We should do it over Thanksgiving break.
Oh, holy fuck, yeah. I will host all of you guys at my house.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely. I say we give Vampire the Masquerade a shot.
Sure.
That's still my favorite tabletop game.
Do you want to pick it up? You could be GM.
I gotta be a sick ass vampire.
But like real talk, every time I open my bag I find my character sheet for D&D and I'm like, I put so much effort into this.
I know.
And I really, really like it. And it's a character class I haven't played before and I really wanna play it.
Yeah.
I've been getting like really like anxious and I wanna play. So I've been thinking of running like some pre sessions before the show.
Yeah.
Just,
like, I'm gonna do some like beta sessions as well.
Yeah, just like, hey, kill some fucking pigs or some shit.
Like get some street cred under your belt.
Scrub.
Just
no, that's the mechanic. God. Everyone in Shadowrun is fucking edgy. Why wouldn't it be called street cred? There's a mechanic called edge.
Yeah.
There's also snuff.
Yeah, I've got about my character Osiris.
So they're all new metal songs.
Pretty much. Yeah. It's literally like Perturbator, but 90 years in the future from where he makes music. Yes. So like, well, not like where he makes music, but like the era.
It's basically Blade Runner, but shittier.
Yes. It's like Blade Runner, but like everyone's poor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Except for the corporations, because fuck them. Bless you.
Wage gap and such.
And I'm telling you, it's going to be Disney, Google, or Apple. It's going to take over events.
Definitely Google. Definitely Google.
I want a Disney universe.
I don't.
Then everywhere is
Everyone's
Disney
too
worlds.
Fucking happy. Go away.
It'd be a small world after all.
But Star Wars is part of Disney, technically.
But like Google. I can't wait for Google to usher in the singularity so I can finally rip off my arm and put a cybernetic in its place.
I just want full plate armor and his right hander. That's really good.
Greg is a simple man.
All I need in this life is a full plate armor and a right hander.
Sydney. Yeah.
Yes.
What have you been doing this week?
I slept.
Woo!
But I also played Stardew Valley this weekend. I was trying really hard to play this game the other day to the point where I was actually like not hurting myself, but I forgot to eat food.
And
like, you know those times where you're like, oh, I'm playing games and this is great. I have like all day to do nothing but play games. And then you forget you should also eat during that time.
Yep.
I didn't realize that until I was playing on my first account where I'm much further into the year. I'm in my second winter. And I was like, let me buy a sick new sword. I haven't bought one of those in a while. And I bought a 20,000 gold sword and then accidentally hit sell and got 800 gold back for it. Whoops. And then I was like, okay, we should go make food now.
Wait, so you hit the guy you sold the sword to and you got your money back?
Like, you know how in some games there's that option to buy back or, like, undo an option that you just did? There's surprisingly no option in Stardew Valley for that, which is kind of bad because you can accidentally sell things by just accidentally clicking.
Yes.
Which, if it's a high-price item, like, hey, I literally just spent 20,000 gold on this, and then, like, oops, I just sold it for 800. It's like, look at that profit. That sick profit.
Profits by GameStop.
It's just one of those little small things that it's happened before with minor things where it's like, oh, I didn't mean to sell those parsnip seeds, but like those are only 20 gold. It's like, it's not a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just one of those things that I got used to having in a lot of RPG games. I know that in WoW you can undo those things.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, quickly, like, oh, didn't mean to sell that. Let me take that back.
Yeah.
And it's just like, I don't know. I feel like with the fact that it's so easy to just accidentally click something the wrong way, like, there should be an undo button, but there isn't. And that's a small nitpicky thing, especially since Stardew Valley's made by, like, one guy. Props to you, sir. Fantastic game. Little bit buggy sometimes, but, like, overall, fantastic game.
I guess you say your hat is off to them.
I don't have a hat.
I did, so.
And I'm not going to yank out my hair. That would hurt.
Well, yeah. I technically already did, so my own hair.
Oh, where'd you put it?
He pulls his arm hairs out one by one.
Talk about the hair on my
head. Is it the hair on your chin?
I'm making a joke about how I'm bald.
I'm making a joke about being fucking weird.
But I already am weird, so it's not really a joke.
Oh. Aren't we all?
Yeah.
No, I'm pretty
weird. I'm making a joke about the fact that I really need a haircut and my hair's falling out.
My hair has been so, like, fucking matted lately. I don't know why. Too. Yeah, totally.
I know what matted means. So.
Like, you know, or you don't know. Like, knotted and kind of unruly. Because, like, I've just stopped brushing it.
I can't.
Not because I want it to, like, dread or anything, but it's just, like, I don't have the fucking arm strength anymore. I don't have the time to, like, when I get out of the shower, play 5 hours of, I'm maybe going to blow dry my hair. No, I'm going to shove it in a fucking bun, and it's going to stay wet for 24 hours. Because that's just the way the world works, I guess.
Yeah. I wish I could put my hair into a bun.
Maybe it hates me for that.
The beauty of black people hair. I don't have to worry.
My hair is too thin for a bun. Like, I was talking about this with Tiffany this morning. Like, most people put their hair into a bun. It's like a nice, like, donut size bun. And then I do my hair in a bun. It's like a munchkin. Because a flat white people hair with no volume. It's great.
I have that, like, Mediterranean hair. So when when my hair behaves, it's like really luscious and like really nice. But like when it doesn't, it's just a pain to deal with. But I don't want to get it like all of it shaved off. I would do like
the sides.
Yes, we were talking about this watching Critical Role one day because I saw Taliesin's hair and I was like, oh my god, I want to do it. Yeah.
Like the shaved head,
like
with
the
like
shaved
the, with the mohawk?
Shaved like sides. Yeah, with the mohawk.
I love
that
hairstyle.
And I
want to
do the mohawk like super long.
I love that hairstyle so much, but I don't have nearly enough balls to do it.
Yeah, I barely had the balls
or
to
enough
do this
volume.
Undercut. I haven't gotten it trimmed since I got it, and it's been like 6 weeks.
I'm probably gonna wind up chopping like 3-4 inches off my hair because I'm like so sick of it. I love long hair.
Yeah,
but it's so flat. And it's just like, my hair looks deflated when it gets too long.
Yeah, I feel that.
It makes me sad.
There's nothing wrong with shaving your head.
Yeah.
Except the Knicks with the razor. Those hurt.
Oh.
Real bad.
All razors.
Oh,
hurt.
Man. Ow.
I wouldn't
so
like
much.
Shave it bald. I just shave it real short.
Yeah.
Ow. I don't know why. Like, that's never happened to me. But for some reason, I can imagine the pain.
Oh, it's
yeah. I was, like, honestly, I was thinking about that earlier today.
it hurts.
Damn. Would you use like a shaving razor?
Sometimes I use an electric razor.
Okay.
To get it kind of short, and then I just clean it up with a regular razor. But sometimes
So
I'm just like, I like doing straight razor, but then I nick myself. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe I shouldn't do straight razor.
Oh man, I'm like cringing. Like,
yeah,
dude, it hurts.
I mean, like,
and like the thing is, you don't realize it until you wash off your head from all the extra shaving cream.
Yeah.
Oh,
and, like,
God.
And your towel is like, huh? This was once white, and now it's mostly red.
Like when I chopped off my finger and didn't realize it until I looked down, I was like, there's like a centimeter of skin missing now.
Yeah. I keep thinking like I'm gonna do something like that. Like, I'll
don't.
Just, I don't know. No, not, like, cut my finger or anything. Like, my nose will start bleeding.
No.
And, like, I'll notice 2 minutes later after, you know, it stops.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, there's blood all over everywhere. Or, like, I don't know, I'll cut my leg in the shower shaving.
Yeah, I haven't had a nosebleed in, like, forever.
I know.
The last nosebleed I had, I was getting ready for chorus, and it was at, like, 8:30 in the morning, and I was just sitting in my bed. And, like, I went to blow my nose, and I guess a blood vessel popped because it was just, like, a waterfall of blood down my face. And, I don't like blood. I'm very squeamish about my own blood and other people's blood. But in that moment, I was just like, Mom, I need a tissue.
Just one.
A lot of them. Because, like, it was on, I was holding my phone. It got in the case of my Galaxy case.
Whoa.
I had to wash it.
Whoa.
I had to wash my phone and the case. It was all over the comforter, all over my shirt. And I'm like, Mom, I'm lightheaded.
So,
So you know, like the anime thing where they get really horny and
yeah.
nosebleed. Is that actually possible? Like, is
probably.
That a thing that happens?
I guess that's an actual thing in Japanese mythology. Like, where that
really?
Oh, yeah, maybe. That, oh, maybe. Yeah, it's like one of those like wise tales. Like, oh, you got a nosebleed because you're thinking about goyles.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I've heard that.
No, a lot of their jokes like that come from Japanese mythology.
Cool.
Like, which is why a lot of jokes like saying, again, not to make up old school games, but that's mostly what I play. But you play like something like Breath of Fire or like Chrono Trigger. Like a lot of the jokes don't really translate well over here.
Yeah.
A lot of the Japanese humor is based in puns, and they're cultural.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
All right.
Yeah, I'm fine. Okay. Dave did me a real startle on Facebook because I have Facebook open to our comment section on the thing we posted for questions. And, like, the message just popped up, and I was like, fuck, okay.
David.
I'm looking all around, Dave. Like, the voice waves didn't get super loud or super quiet.
Yeah, my computer did me real
Yeah, fun. I was really worried the podcast just, like, stopped recording or something.
It stopped recording 20 minutes ago.
So, Deanna,
that's happened before. That really has happened.
House, are we starting this trend of interrupting Colin again?
House?
I love House. House MD was my shit.
It was a good show. How's your week been, Deanna?
My week has been pretty interesting. I've been anxious for most of it.
Same.
I should go to a therapist. Anyway.
But it's expensive.
Therapy's expensive.
Actually, my dad's insured through the state, and I think I have that until I'm like 26.
Oh.
So I'm probably going to go to therapy. I have a physical next Tuesday. So I'm going to ask her for a recommendation.
Oh, I should schedule a doctor's appointment.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just missed mine last week.
I told my doctor I'd follow up with her over the summer, and I just didn't.
Yeah, so I made my own doctor's appointment for the first time in the past week. What the fuck?
Adulting.
I had to do that last year, and it was really scary.
Yeah. I've been making my own dentist appointments, because it's like, oh, just come to the window, we'll schedule you in 6 months. And, like, that's, I think, a bigger achievement for me, because I fucking hate the dentist. Anyway, because they were like, oh, yeah, you need to have, like, I had a tooth crack over the summer. They were like, oh, yeah, we need to just put a filling here. And I was like, okay, I'll make the appointment now. When do you want me to come back? And they were like, come back in a couple of days. And I was like, fine.
Isn't that the
best? Like, I had no anxiety about it. What the fuck?
I wish I could be that way about the dentist.
Isn't it the best when, like, you make your own appointment and nothing goes wrong, like, during the making of the appointment?
Yeah.
You're just like, that's it?
Yeah.
See, I think that, and then I remember, like, you have to make things 6 months in advance for the dentist, and I'm like, but I'll be on a different semester schedule.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so, like, used to making plans in advance, in case you guys couldn't tell. Like, we all had yesterday Columbus Day off, and, like, Friday, I was like, so what are we doing Monday? I ended up going to IKEA and buying a bookshelf.
And then Exciting. Yesterday you asked us, like, are we doing anything today? And I'm laying in bed, like, please somebody say no. Because I don't want to get
I kind
up.
Of figured we weren't, so I was like, yeah, I'll clean my room today. I got really productive this weekend. I don't know why.
I wish I was.
Yeah. What else did I do this week?
You ran Shadowrun on Friday.
Yes, I ran Shadowrun Anarchy on Friday. That was a lot of fun. I'm reading a little bit more into plot points, and you guys can't just, like, change the entire plot.
I can't make Skitel.
I mean, like, you can do little things like that.
Okay.
But you can't be like, yeah, now we're in this location. You know, you still have to kind of follow GM. So it's like, it's finding a balance. I don't ever read, like, the core rulebook all the way through, cover to cover.
Yeah.
I really should, because I still don't know how fucking combat works in vanilla 5th edition, but, you know... We're making our way.
That's something you should probably read.
Yeah.
Because I haven't, like, read the whole D&D book. It's like, I the classes, I, like, once over the combat, maybe. Probably skim through it.
Yeah. But, like, combat in D&D is easy. Right. Combat in Shadowrun, it's like, okay, so you have your dice pool, and then you have your modifiers for your dice pool, and then you have your modifiers for your situation, and then your cover status, and then, like, if you're recoiling from your weapon, or, like, if you have a melee weapon, then you have to kind of counter, you have to factor in the reach versus, like, the same amount of factors, like, the reaction, the cover, the fact, or the whether the subject is moving, like, the targeting things, and, like, it's everything. It's so involved. I think I'm going to dumb it down a lot when we run for the series.
That sounds good.
But
I feel like
goddamn.
Once you get, like, lost in the world of Shadowrun,
or
the world you've created, like, that combat system just works.
Yeah.
Because it has that really, like, high-intensity, like, feel to it. Like, yeah. Very strategic.
And I feel like a lot of it is on me to make it exciting.
Mm. That's definitely a lot of it. Because, like, for example, like, I don't know if particularly having a complex battle system is good. Like, for it really depends on who you are. Because like, there are tons of RPG players who like the numbers or whatever. But the vast majority just kind of want to tell a story. And usually rolling a fuckload of dice and calculating numbers just kind of slows the game down.
Yeah.
So, for, I don't know if that's like
a lot of
RPG, really.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of preparing for the Shadowrun series that we're doing is just figuring out what core mechanics we don't need.
Yeah.
Because Shadowrun, I've said it like so many times over this past week as I'm explaining what I'm doing to like my parents and people I work with. It's been really fun explaining this to a 70-year-old woman at work. She totally understands because like she has a, awesome. Like a group of her friends that play Dungeons and Dragons. So I'm like, oh, this is really interesting. But, you know, it's like, God, Shadowrun is notorious for having for everything covered. Like, everything you could possibly imagine in the, your world. Whether it's, like, dust in the air, like, water in someone's lungs, or, like, hellfire coming down from the sky, there's a modifier for it.
So strange.
I'll try not to actually die during the series sessions.
Oh, that's okay.
I don't know. I don't think my hysterical laughing was okay the other day.
Oh, I thought you meant your character.
Oh, no. I meant, like, my actual inability to do anything besides hysterically cackle.
Oh, that's fine. another thing I'm learning about Shadowrun is that it's a lot deadlier than Dungeons & Dragons. Like, Dungeons & Dragons, you can probably skirt around death a few times. My character can't, but that's a different story.
I mean, that's 5e. 5e is definitely
deadly.
Or it made things less deadly.
Oh.
But, in the older ones, it was just, like, it would be hard to hit people, but, like, you get hit, it was, like, all of your health.
Yeah. So, yeah. In Shadowrun, it's hard to hit, but the amount of health it takes off is, like, you get hit, you know, one time too many, obviously.
Yeah.
You get hit a little too hard, and, you know, you're dead. Then the big thing that happened today, which I didn't expect to happen, today is National Coming Out Day. And Snapchat had a filter for it. And I put this on my story. And I didn't realize that my sisters would look at my Snapchat story. And the caption I had on my Snapchat was, "Local bisexual sits in traffic. What else is new?" Or something like that.
Yeah.
And they messaged me and they were like, "What does this mean on your Snapchat story?" And I was like, "Oh, it means I'm bi."
Hi, I'm bi.
Yeah, right.
And they were like, "Wait, what? Since when?" I was like, "Oh, well, since like a while." And they were like, "No, but when did you know?" And so we went through the whole conversation, and like I was really apprehensive about telling them because my family is super religious and stuff, so I didn't think they'd be so accepting. But my sisters were like, "Yeah, that's fine. What does Dave think about it, you know?"
I mean, as a male, I can tell you that 99% of the time we think it's pretty fucking sweet.
Yeah. That's kind of the reaction I got from Dave. He was just like, "Yeah, whatever. Okay."
Yeah, whatever. And since he's like...
I've dated the bi chick before, so...
Oh, wow. And they were like,
"I'm not trying to brag, right? I'm just..."
No, I don't.
No, you brag, brother. You fucking brag.
I will not be objectified like this. But yeah, they were like, "So how long have you been out?" And I was like, "Well, I've been out for like a year to my friends because they literally don't give a fuck." And they were like, "But what the, why didn't you tell us?" So like, understandably, they were very upset.
I think it's kind of cool that it's almost like an anecdote how you came out.
Yeah, it was just like, "Oh yeah, I'm bi."
Oops. Yeah. I am bi.
Yeah. It isn't. It wasn't like this.
It wasn't like a whole big thing. It was more.
It wasn't like a Shane Dawson level of melodrama like out video.
Yeah.
It was like a just funny.
It's just
story.
Like this. I am this now. It's a characteristic of me.
It's kind of adorable, actually. Like just the whole
I strive to be adorable, so that's really validating. But yeah, this led up to, you know, we were talking about Natalie Dormer earlier, and I just want to put in that fucking story. This actually goes into our news, but that's all I did this week.
Natalie Dormer? Ooh.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
This week, Overwatch. Yeah. News section, guys. Overwatch is doing their Halloween event You know, we are still a little bit of a gaming podcast. And it lasts October 11th through November 1st. A few people got new skins. There are 12 new skins, and you can buy them with real currency now. There's a new brawl featuring Junkrat as Dr. Junkenstein, and their Halloween loot boxes, which you can get the new skins from. A few characters have the new, their new like highlight intros, and the Dr. Junkenstein comic is out. Now, we had Overwatch just idling in the room on a TV, and Mercy was on it. And Colin looks back at Mercy on the screen and says, "Wow, she really looks like Natalie Dormer with that costume," because she's in her Halloween costume. And I didn't form a complete thought, so the words out of my mouth were, "That's why I'm gay."
You know, Deanna, you've been out for a year now. Overwatch only came out a few months ago.
No.
Mercy single-handedly made you gay.
Hashtag Mercy made me gay. Yeah.
No, my complete thought was something like, I don't know. I forget what my complete thought was, but like...
Well, we know what you meant.
Natalie Dormer was one of my first like celebrity girl crushes, or as I like to call them, crushes. This doesn't fucking matter. And, you know, that was my thought process, but it just came out as, that's why I'm gay. But yeah, continuing.
Again, have you seen her? I don't blame you.
Yeah, she's on, like, everyone's girl five. Every girl's girl five, I bet. Also, that's how I found out, like, not Natalie Dormer specifically, but someone I knew is how I found out I had a type. And that type is basically the manic pixie dream girl. But taller and with a lot more muscles. A lot more tattoos. I'm gay.
I am gay.
Moral of the story. What? Also,
moral of the story is,
don't fucking nitpick at bisexuals who say, I'm so gay. They're just as gay as you. And they're probably just as straight as everyone else. It's really like its own thing.
Yeah.
Bisexuals need love and they're not greedy.
Or selfish.
For like my freshman and sophomore year of high school, I thought I was bisexual. Like, in all seriousness, like,
it's a nice party. Yeah. You should join.
No, I genuinely thought I was.
Yeah, I know.
I think it was just. I hate to be like, well, I was confused, but.
Yeah. You know, my sister straight up asked if it was like a phase to get back at my parents for something. I was like, no, I would have told them by now if it was.
Yeah.
They're probably gonna like, this is the podcast they're gonna listen to. And be like, oh, wow. You tell the entire internet this before us? Like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Entire internet, despite being full of fucking scumbags, is a little bit more accepting than my parents most times.
Which is ironic.
Yeah. Anyway.
It's ironic.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yes, I do think. Therefore, I am.
Well, I was just shoehorning in an Alanis Morissette reference, because I love Alanis.
Oh, now I get it. News! We have a couple more stories. Gears of War, the movie, now has a release date. It's confirmed. It's been greenlit.
Did they say who the director is? Unfortunately,
did they?
No.
All I want to say is...
Dylan Clark will be on board to produce. Mm-hmm.
Last time I heard, I think Cliff Bleszinski was going to produce as well.
Okay.
And I think he is going to be doing the casting.
Okay.
There's only two actors that I legitimately want in this. Technically three.
Yeah.
One of them, Oscar Isaac, because I just want Oscar Isaac in literally everything. Because I want him to play Dominic.
Yeah. That's
awesome. Dominic Santiago. Liev Schreiber should play Marcus, because he looks a lot like him. And either Terry Crews or The Rock needs to play Coltrane.
Oh, yes. Terry Crews.
I think Terry Crews. I think.
Yeah.
I also think Coltrane is based on Terry Crews.
Yeah. but The Rock could totally pull off that character too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's just as entertaining. So that's the only. And if they have a really good special effects department, I'm sold. I've always thought Gears was a very consistently good series that deserved a movie, because it's prime for just a big dumb action movie.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the real question: who will Natalie Dormer play? Everyone.
She'll play one of the girls.
Like the girl.
Yeah, the girl.
She will play Grill.
I'm already going to see the movie, but if Natalie Dorn's in it,
you're going to see it like 3 times.
The tickets have been pre-ordered. But they're not even on sale. They've been
pre-ordered.
Yeah. Moving on.
Hey, casting. What's up?
Yeah, cast Greg. Do it.
Yeah, man. I'll be Coltrane. Ah, it's the Coltrane, baby. Ooh, yeah.
I'd watch it.
I'll be Marcus. Dom, we gotta drop the hammer. And that'll be just the only line I say.
I'll be Dom. Be like, my wife.
Level up, right?
Yep.
Yep. Gaming and such. I'm a gamer. Only gamers understand that joke.
90s gamers.
Radical.
Radical is my favorite fucking word. Don't you diss radical in my house.
No, I'm not dissing radical in your house, actually.
It's my favorite word.
I probably wouldn't say radical. I like iridescent quite a bit. Or effervescent. Anyway.
I like pedantic.
So pedantic.
Pedantic is such a scathing word. I love it.
It is.
I like cozy.
I also like cacophony.
Ooh, cacophony.
Cacophony is a real good word. It's like a mash of sounds. It's real good.
I like the word.
That's like my go-to D&D describing.
Yeah, it is.
Cacophony of violence. A cacophony of violence. Yeah. A cacophony of swords clashing.
Yep.
A firestorm of chaos.
Ooh, okay.
Quoting the Road Warrior.
So, next up, Fizzerp, a Call of Duty pro streamer on Twitch, passed away recently, and his funeral was streamed on Twitch. It received nearly $20,000 in donations, and it was around 9 minutes long. Yeah. It's weird to think about.
That, like, Twitch being serious.
Yeah. First of all, Twitch being serious enough to pay this guy, like, actual respect.
And I think it's great because it kind of shows, like, the more, like, loving side of gamers.
Yeah.
Because we all,
you know.
I mean, even Twitch chat itself, it's like, sure, it's lots of times they roast people or they say mean stuff, but like the Twitch chat is like a community. It's like
a community
of just people who like making fun of people and cracking jokes together.
Yeah.
But like, when it comes time to like be serious and pay respect to, you know, a fallen brother, essentially, it's like, hey, you know what? Let's all come together for this because, you know, he entertained us. Let's give him the respect he deserves.
Yeah.
And I think he died in a car crash.
So it was
sudden.
Really close to home. Fuck. God. I had a relative that passed away last week after being hit by a car.
Oh.
That's why I was kind of upset on the last podcast. But it was so sudden. And, like, just the situation around it was not great.
Yeah.
Well, not, like, not ideal for them to die, obviously. But, like, God fucking damn it, guys.
Anywho.
Life is so temporary.
I know.
So temporary. Be excellent to each other.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Be fucking sick.
Be dope.
Be fucking dope.
Be awesome.
Be whoever you want to be. Don't be afraid to come out.
Unless it's
actually dangerous, then by all means, stay in the closet for your own safety.
Yeah. Yeah, be whatever you want, but make sure that whoever you want to be is also fucking sick. Be the dope you. Whoever that is, that's for you to decide.
Channel your inner Barbie girl.
Yeah.
Be who you want to be, Barbie girl.
Yeah. Be Barbie.
Be Barbie.
Be fucking beautiful. You're beautiful, listener.
Yeah, you and your fucking weird misshapen body, that's fine, man.
Yeah.
But they have new Barbies, and they're different shapes.
Yeah. They have quote-unquote body diversity Barbie. It's still kind of, like, a lot of the same, but, you know.
A step in the right direction.
But still, like, there's a shorter Barbie, there's a taller Barbie, there's a more curvy Barbie.
Curvy. Just like fat. Fat's not a bad word.
No, I know. But that's how she's described as curvy.
Yeah.
It's just
I think curvy sounds better than fat, personally.
Yeah, it sounds a lot
and
better.
She actually
it sounds
is.
More elegant.
Like, I haven't bought the dolls myself. I don't want to buy the dolls myself just because, like, I don't want them. No, like, I appreciate dolls. Hell, half my YouTube channels are just doll openings at this point. But, like, the curvy Barbie actually is curvy. It's not just like, oh, we gave her bigger boobs and a bigger butt. Like, no, it's actually, like,
she's got rolls.
A female figure.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, good job, Barbie. I forget who makes you. Mattel?
Mattel.
Yeah, yeah, Mattel.
You've done good, Mattel.
I wrote a paper about this. I should know this.
The Galaxy Note 7 has been discontinued. Get on that Google Pixel, everybody. Yeah, the Google Pixel was just announced.
Yeah.
Which is actually pretty great timing for Google. Because everyone who wants an Android is looking for something different now.
That doesn't explode.
That doesn't explode.
Right.
And that maybe has the latest version of Android installed on it. Stock and clean.
I guess you could say that Galaxy Note 7 is really setting fire on the charts. You know, sales charts, you know?
Yeah, into people's
in the
legs.
Wrong direction. It's going straight to hell. If hell is down in your narrative.
Technically,
it's in
up.
The red.
Technically, it's up because Michigan's up.
Yeah, that's true.
Hell, Michigan.
I just want to know how Samsung is going to combat it, because haven't they been working with, like, I know a lot of phone companies are trying to get as much phone life as they can out of phones, and that's why the batteries are getting super powerful and not safe.
Yeah.
Like, there just has to be a point where you're going to have to stop.
Yeah.
Like, people,
you're going to have to stop and, like,
buy a portable charger. They're much more accessible now, and they're a lot cheaper than they used to be a few years back.
Yeah.
There's almost like an overabundance of those power banks now, so you can get a really
good
one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Price. It's like
I have one that's 10,000 milliamps.
Same.
That I got one on eBay for like $12.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Amazon runs deals on those like every day.
Yep.
It's fantastic.
Like,
just don't get a Mophie one, because they're like $30 more than they should be.
So I'm not quite clear on the specifics because I just skimmed over the news story, but is it because they packed so much battery into the Note, or
I think that's what
okay.
it is.
Their Note series has been getting like bigger, like the phone screen.
Yeah.
Like, I have the Note 4, and the Note 4 is already pretty damn big.
Yeah.
And like the Note 5 is a little
bigger. I mean, like, I think
six.
The OnePlus 1 is pretty damn big because I got short thumbs, but
Sam.
I have small hands. I can't eat that burger.
I got these tiny hands.
So it wasn't like a voltage issue or anything?
I'm not
because
sure.
I know that's how I fried a laptop motherboard once, is I, you know,
yeah,
I used the wrong voltage
on the charger.
You know
what, because it came up before the iPhone 7. They probably wanted to beat them, so they released junk phones.
Yeah.
But then they took them back and, like, refurbished them, and the new version still explodes.
Because the S7 is fine, right?
Yes.
Okay.
From what I've heard, it's fine.
The Note is apparently junk.
Yeah.
Which is a bummer because
the Note phones have always been marked as like mini tablets.
Yeah, the Note series doesn't really compete with the iPhone 7.
No,
it's the Galaxy.
It's the regular Galaxy and the new Galaxy Edges.
Yeah, so
and
I guess
Galaxy.
I guess they really had no reason to.
It's a Galaxy out there. Long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Yeah, they really had no reason to push the Note as early as they
did.
No,
like
the Note
is such a niche phone.
Yeah,
you know?
It really is.
Like, I love it. I love the Note 4. It's the best smartphone I've ever had, but I can understand it's not for everybody.
Yeah.
It's too big.
Yeah.
It's ginormous.
It's too big.
Compare?
It's huge.
Compare?
It's,
oh, it's like almost the same size as my phone.
It's huge.
It's huge.
Nice, cool. But yeah, you also have a case on it.
That's
that makes
true.
It look a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
Side note, I like running my phones completely caseless because, one, I'm careless and also lazy. Plus, I can't find any pretty ones. For the phones I buy especially, because I tend to gravitate towards phones that are easy to root. Oh, yeah, that's another thing that fucked up my week. That's another story, I guess, that we don't have time for. Let's quickly get to our questions because, one, we have to get out of here because they're closing the building. Two, we're at about an hour.
Damn you, Donald Trump, for making us so angry and ranty.
Right?
I mean, I'm not mad at Trump. I'm mad at everybody else.
I'm mad at everybody else for, like, giving him this power.
I'm mad at politics for existing.
Yeah.
Same.
Anyway.
Before we go on to the questions, I would like to do a shameless plug.
Sure.
From the 18th to the 31st, I will be doing a gigantic Castlevania reviewing series called The 13 Days of Castlevania, taking a cue from ABC Family. except they don't review Castlevania.
They have their 13 Days of Halloween or whatever.
They're missing that market, you know. They really should be on
there. Yeah.
And
it's their free form now, by the way. Dumbest fucking name chains.
Yeah.
Fucking history. Anyway.
Anyway, so I'll be reviewing 13 different Castlevania games, starting out with Castlevania II: Simon's Quest, which is often regarded to be the redheaded stepchild of the series, and ending with a gigantic retrospective slash review on the very first Castlevania, because it is one of my favorite games of all time, and it's one of my favorite series of all time. And I'm done being a fanboy.
You got 13 days to do it at the end of this month. So our first question comes to us from Sydney. I love how you give us questions every week. Thank you.
I give questions. I'm not so good giving the answers to my own questions.
That's fair. What bad element of, these are all on Facebook. We didn't get any email questions and we didn't get any Twitter questions. But what bad element of gameplay can make a good game bad?
Controls.
Yeah. Oh.
Controls. Bad controls.
Yep.
Controls make or break.
Yeah. I want to say, just like an unsatisfactory checkpoints where it's like, you get there, but it doesn't feel like you really did anything.
Controls, and I would say a game that takes itself way too seriously.
Yep.
It's one of the reasons why I've never liked Kingdom Hearts. It's just that way too seriously.
100% always is just, for me, is specifically what I'm talking about with Masquerada. It's like, yeah. when I feel like I can't be playing better than I am, that is like my ultimate pet peeve. Like, my worst boss fight experience of all time was in The Witcher 1. I was fighting this thing called the Beast, and maybe I spec'd incorrectly, or I didn't do enough side quests, but this is, like, the hardest boss fight I've ever done. And I think I beat it, but I honestly don't remember because I hated that game so much.
Well, because it's micromanaging the game.
Yeah, and so it's like, so, like, I was just playing this boss fight, and I was just hoping the RNG would swing in a way that would help me win, and, like, when you get to that moment when you're like, I hope the AI just breaks,
yeah,
and like I win, like that, like that is the most infuriating thing. Like I want to be able to be better, and if the game doesn't allow me to be better, then I can't be fucking excellent. If I can't be fucking excellent, I don't fucking matter.
Yeah. Throw back to when Blood Cursed Beast ran through the wall and Victor won on a glitch.
Oh my god, that's a speedrun strat.
Is it actually?
Yes, to make him run through the wall and like I think backstab him. So that, yeah, you do the back attack so that he goes through the wall and falls into oblivion.
I just remember everybody screaming when that happened.
Yeah, that was nuts.
Not to,
Bloodborne for the first, like, 3 weeks was fucking nuts.
And then the great crash of the PS4. The great wipe. We don't talk about the great wipe.
No, we fucking don't. I lost my daughter that
day. Listen, I already had a PS4 crash this year as well.
Yeah.
I'm on PS4 Mark II right now.
Yeah, that's always the cool thing about the Souls games is that it's like when they come out, it's almost like an event. Like within the community.
Yeah.
It's just like everybody comes together and just like
slogs through together. Yeah, play some Souls with me. But it's one player.
I think my two answers for this question. One of them, thankfully, games have gotten much further away from this than, like, older games, but, like, specific checkpoints used to drive me crazy. I remember I was trying to do 100% run of the original Spyro the Dragon, and I completely forgot that you just don't save the game unless you save on the dragon spawns, and I lost, like, probably 6 hours of perfection progress because I didn't do that.
That's a hard game to 100% on too.
There's so many things where it's like, I've watched speed. Do you remember the jungle top level? Where it's like, oh, how the hell do I get these like last 150 gems? Oh, let me just go the complete opposite way of the way that these arrows are going.
Yeah, fucking manual saving. It's like,
yeah.
Is it like a... No, I actually don't like it at all. Because, like, it's only ever caused me pain. It's never like, ooh, I like that I can save before this. I'm like, you just do both. Have an auto-save and a manual save system.
I like it as a crutch in addition to the auto-saving.
Oh, yeah. You got to have both. But every time I played a game, that's literally just manual.
Yeah.
Two games that are, like, super guilty of that. One of them was Rage, which was id Software's, like, first IP in a couple of years. That had a stupid saving system.
Yeah.
Where it was like, it was autosave, but not really autosave. So you had to manually save everything.
Oh, was it like quick saves autosave?
Sort of.
Ew.
But like, on the console versions, they didn't have that. It was like,
gross.
It was weird. And again, not to bring it up again, but Castlevania Lament of Innocence.
Yeah.
Hey, man. I bring up Hotline Miami literally every single podcast when we answer these questions. You're safe.
No, Castlevania Lament of Innocence, it's such a dungeon crawly type game.
Yeah.
And the save points are so far apart. And there's been a few times where I've gotten really, really far and forgot to save. It sucks.
And another quick thing was, you actually said it, when games take themselves too seriously. I hate when games, like, try to portray one thing so hard that, like, it becomes annoying. Like, I loved Life is Strange, except for the ending, because it was just stupid. That's, like, all your choices literally meant nothing. Because at the end, you could just choose one or two. The
fucking dead lesbian trope.
Yeah.
Fuck that.
Like, that was dead annoying. That's another...
I'll explain it off the podcast.
Yeah, that's already, a like, whole other topic.
That's a whole other topic.
It's a huge issue. Yeah. But,
no, it's a trope.
Like, the fact that they had to use such stupid language constantly was like, what era is this written for? Because it felt like it was written for, like, 2012 high school.
How do you do, fellow friends? Children?
Fellow young people.
Why don't you go fuck your selfie?
Yeah. It's like, it just cringe. Yes.
Square Enix.
No.
Square Enix published it.
They're
connected.
My favorite quote is, "Oh, I have a copy of Final Fantasy The Spirits Within. I don't care what anybody says. That's a great movie." It's like, no one's ever said that. Not even Square Enix says that.
Did you fucking plug themselves in the
dark? They did. I'm not even kidding. Look it up.
You have to go. Okay, we're going to breeze through these next questions.
Oh my god. I can't even believe that's reality.
Let's collect ourselves.
All right, we're good.
Rapid fire. I'm sorry it always comes to this. From Colin, right here. What is a horror-themed video game that deserves more love? I don't know. I don't play many horror games.
Same.
But I don't know if you guys have heard of it. I think P.T. it was like, you know, the playable trailer.
I really think that deserves like a successor. Maybe like a full title instead of just a demo. I think that'd be really cool. You can call it Silent Hills. I don't know, it's kind of weird.
But No. It would be really cool. Really cool if you had a really brilliant gaming auteur like Hideo Kojima and a brilliant director like Guillermo del Toro and a fan favorite actor like Norman Reedus attached to it. That'd be fantastic.
That's such a great idea. Like,
why didn't they do that?
This is great.
Because pachinko machines, Diana. Because pachinko machines.
Everyone loves gambling.
You know what's a great
game? Yeah, that's why they took it out of Pokemon.
A great horror-themed game that deserves more love than it gets, despite the fact it gets a fuckload of love, is Bloodborne.
Yeah.
Because Bloodborne is one of the most fucking brilliant games ever made, and it lost out lots of GOTY awards to Witcher 3. While a great game that I really did enjoy, it pushes zero boundaries in any way in the RPG-making process, outside the fact that it has morally great characters. Ooh, fucking brilliant. Every text RPG has been doing that since the beginning of time. Because yours is fully voice acted, doesn't mean it's cool that you made morally great characters. All right, Bloodborne's fucking brilliant. I love Witcher 3.
Also, quick plug, The Witcher 3 was building off of a pre-established universe, and Bloodborne started from scratch.
Yes, pretty much.
To be fair.
Plus, Eldritch Horror is, like, it's so hard to portray in anything. Bloodborne did it really well.
Yeah.
And for my horror-themed game, that is Shadows of the Damned. It is a Suda51 Shinji Mikami and Akira Yamaoka, who does the music for Silent Hill, the creator of Resident Evil, and Suda51. A superstar team, and hands down, one of the most interesting portrayals of hell I've seen. It's a fun little over-the-shoulder third-person shooter horror game. And the script is, I think, probably the funniest or one of the funniest games I've ever played. It is hysterical throughout. You play as a demon hunter, and you have a demon partner who, instead of talking in a stereotypical demonic voice, has a really prissy British accent.
Our last question comes from Brian Saviano on Facebook. What does the cast think of VR? Price points aside, do you think it's a justifiable purchase when the main way to game is still the traditional controller, mouse, and keyboard?
It's still a niche market, in my opinion.
Yeah.
If you want to go for it, go for it. If you're not,
it's a novelty. Yeah. I think AR is a better thing to develop at this point because it has more practical applications.
I personally think VR, I want to emphasize the whole novelty thing on it because there's a huge chunk of the gaming media who thinks it's going to be like the next big thing. But until VR can provide core gaming experiences, it's not going to matter. And until they fix the ability of the fact that you can't move around without getting motion sick, that's a big, pretty fucking deal.
Honestly, I thought you could with the Vive.
No, you can move in like a small square, but like, say you want to play like Bloodborne or something,
you can't walk.
Yeah,
you can't.
Imagine trying to dodge with that game.
Yeah. I can't even imagine going up the stairs in Bloodborne in VR. God,
nope. The stairs are all wet with rain and blood. Maybe ? It could also be Eldrick Icker. We're not entirely sure what exactly on the stairs.
And like just general filth.
Yeah.
Sydney, quickly before you go, I know I'm keeping you.
It's fine. I'm just like, my parents are like, oh, we're outside. I'm like, shit.
Today's one day we go to like literally 10:05.
I'm all for VR. I think it's really cool. I would like to not be nauseous when I play it.
Yeah.
Like, it seems like they're trying to market it as like a niche thing, which is kind of like how the Wii was with like motion controls. And I feel like it'll eventually get there. But, like, in the time being, there are so many barriers with it. For one, movement is a huge thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how can you... Like, what I was talking about last week, about, like, how I'd love to have Red Dead on that. But, like, how the hell would you ride a horse in VR? Would you gallop in place?
Monty Python!
Yeah.
Like, that system would have to be wireless or, like, literally, like, how mocap is, where it's, like, a full body suit. Which would be another interesting thing to talk about for another time. But Sydney has to go.
All right.
Goodbye,
Sydney.
Monty Bell.
Okay, just writing something down. Yeah. Bye, Sydney!
That being said, it is really cool to look down and have a different body. That's always going to be cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look behind you, be like, that's not what's behind me. Whoa! That's literally always cool. No matter how many VR games I play, I'm always like, I turn around and it's something different.
Or like, you look down, it's like, those aren't my feet! Those aren't the shoes I wore out of the house because I don't own a VR headset.
Yeah.
So I never play VR in my house. All right. I guess that's a great place to end it.
Yes.
But actually, we have drawn to a satisfying conclusion.
Brilliant. We have drawn to a satisfying conclusion.
You.
Brilliant.
You.
I say brilliant.
You, that's a great place to end it.
Yes.
Me, an intellectual. We have drawn to a satisfying conclusion.
Was I implied to not be intellectual?
I was just putting it in meme format. Really? I just thought your speaking words were written by the development team behind Life is Strange.
Oh. Okay.
Selfie.
I'm making fun of their dialogue. I'm not making fun of you.
Kill yourself.
We're
going
to cry.
I wouldn't.
No!
Don't cry. Unless you have a really ugly cry, which would be great to
do. I have a really fucking ugly cry.
I...
Oh, God.
Not to make it personal, but... When the girl broke up with me, I had, like, the most disgusting, awful, like, snot-filled cry.
Yeah. I have those, like, every single time I cry.
It was so bad. Because I was so upset.
I cry.
I was legitimately upset. I was hurt.
Yeah.
That's awesome. You know?
That's fair. All right. I guess we'll see you guys next week. There's no 0.5 this week because that takes a lot of time and that we don't have right now. Bye.
Bye.
See ya.